Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 21, verses 27. And we're going to read all the way to chapter 22, verse 21. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law in this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another, and since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him!" As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." After receiving the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. "Quick," he said, "leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me." "Lord," I replied, "these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Then the Lord said to me, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles."
Thank you, Nick, for reading that to us. I saw that you were hesitating as you're coming up to read and stand next to this tank. So I'm going to move myself right over here so I don't in any way make a wrong step and fall into the tank. Welcome to our service this morning. This is indeed a privilege for us to be celebrating not only a worship service together, but an opportunity to see and to witness the testimonies and the baptisms of seven brothers and sisters, as well as to participate in the Lord's Supper together. I want to ask you this morning a question. What is it that you believe? What is it that you believe? What do you believe in your heart, in your heart of hearts, to be true? What would that be? Well, you may say, "I believe that fishing is a gift from God." Well, okay, you may not say that, but I would say that. I believe that fishing is a gift from God. It's an opportunity for men to come together, for male bonding, so to speak, for expressing that hunter-gatherer spirit of ours, of our manhood. Did you know what happens when we go fishing? So not only do we have a fish on the line, right, and we're fighting it, and we're fighting it for a little while, but after we catch the fish, we drag it on shore, and the fish starts to wobble and flop around like crazy, like a fish out of water, obviously. And then what we do is we go to the fish, we grab it, we bonk it, and then we rip out its gills. And the reason we do that is actually more humane for the fish to just bleed out rather than trying to breathe, you know, out of water. Actually, I learned that from someone in this congregation. I learned that from Owen Jung. When I saw Owen years ago fish, and after she caught the fish, she goes, "Yank." I go, "Whoa, there's a woman to be respected." I believe that fishing is a gift from God. Well, you may say, "I believe in love. I believe in the love and commitment of a man and woman to each other, till death do us part." You know, my wife, Deb, she loves to see older couples together, sitting together, hand in hand together. She can't wait until we become an older couple. Wait, I think we are an older couple. Or others may say, "I believe in democracy. I believe that the student protests in Hong Kong, the umbrella revolution, is a good thing," you may say, "for the future of Hong Kong." But others of you may not believe that. What is it that you believe? What is it that you believe to be true from the very bottom of your heart? In the passage of scripture that Nick read to us this morning in Acts, we see again how Paul is being persecuted for his faith, for his belief in Jesus Christ, for his desire to follow the Lord no matter what situation of life he is in, for his desire to be Christ's witnesses, for his desire to be Christ's witness in all situations of life. You know, as I was reading this passage this week, I was wondering, what was going through Paul's mind? What do you think was going through Paul's mind as he was confronted by this angry mob? As people were trying to kill him. You know, they seized him, they pinned him down, and they're beating on him. The Bible says the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried out by the soldiers. But instead of cowering away, instead of keeping his mouth shut, Paul does the opposite. He wants to be a witness for the Lord. He wants to share his testimony with other people, even in such situations. You know, tell you honestly, I probably would have kept my mouth shut in a situation like that. To keep quiet, to just be taken away so that I'd be away from all these angry people, taken away to safety. I ask myself as I read this passage, where did Paul get this type of courage from? How is he able to withstand opposition and persecution in his life? Well, let me ask you, have you ever been mocked for your faith? Have you been mocked for going to church, for believing in God, for being made fun of as a Christian? Have others ever avoided you in school, at the workplace? Have they treated you differently because you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have they also maybe alienated you, you know, from gatherings of friends and people at work or wherever? I'm sure we've all been there before in some way or another. When we go through times of adversity in our lives because of our faith, when there's severe doubt in our lives, how many of you have never doubted the Lord before as a believer? When we go through intense struggles in our lives, whether it be the loss of a loved one, someone very dear to us, they're no longer around. And we pray to the Lord for health issues that we may have or that others we know have. For our financial stability or instability. For uncertainty about the future. For maybe some hopeless situations in our lives. It is what we believe at these times that really matters. It really matters. When it comes to your faith, what is it that you believe? Do you know? And will that belief that you have sustain you through all the situations in your life that you go through? You know, in a way, our beliefs can be seen in the ordinances of the church. In the ordinance of the church, our beliefs can be seen. And so you may ask, well, what is an ordinance? Well, an ordinance is a practice that's ordained by Christ to be permanently observed by the church. And ordinances are visible enactments of the gospel message that Jesus lived and died, that he was raised from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, and will return someday. This is what an ordinance is. Ordinances are visual aids. They're continual reminders for us to help us better understand what Jesus Christ actually accomplished for us on the cross. And so what are three distinguishing marks that characterize an ordinance? First, it is something that is instituted by Christ. It was instituted by Christ. Second, it was taught by the apostles. And third, it was practiced by the early church. And so, as such, there are two ordinances in the church. And when I say in the church, I do not mean in this church, or in Fraserland's church, or in the Christian and Missionary Alliance church. No, I'm talking about the universal church, the church throughout the world. These are two ordinances that the church throughout the world believes in and celebrates. First, baptism. And secondly, communion. In baptism, water is the transformation. Water is the transformation in baptism. In communion, it is the bread and wine. So the most ordinary things of life, water, bread, and wine, it becomes the sacred way in which God, through Jesus Christ, comes to us. In baptism, we're set free from sin as Christ comes to live within us. In communion, Jesus becomes our food and our drink as he nourishes us with his body. So in baptism, he frees us from our old way of life. In communion, he feeds us and he sustains us for our new life in him. In essence, in baptism, he frees us. In communion, he feeds us. The ordinance of baptism. Baptism is best described as the image of dying and rising again. You'll see that today. The image of dying and rising again. It's expressed in the Apostle Paul as he talks about in Romans 6. I won't read this because we read it already at the beginning of service. So these images of dying and rising again is found in this passage, which we read earlier. And so this grace of God really is something that none of us did anything to receive, to deserve. You know, it is God's grace and his grace alone. Christian baptism is more than just a washing. It is more than just a bath. Although I hope most of you did take a bath this morning before you came. Well, that's why we do the ladies first, right? The ladies are cleaner, and then the men go at the end. Christian baptism is more than just a washing. It's more than just a bath. It is a death. It is a death. The end of the old way of life. Because now our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Down into death as we lower them into the water. And up into resurrection life as they rise again. It is a daily dying of ourselves and our old way of life, and claiming Christ's power for life and godliness to go forward in our lives as Christians. And so what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. We're not the same anymore. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to live in each one of us, transforming us to be more joyful, more loving, more peaceful, more patient and kind. We're given opportunity to show more goodness and gentleness into our lives. And we're able to be more faithful and self-controlled. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to live in each believer. And so for us to observe the ordinance of baptism, which we're doing today, it is our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said to us in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you," Jesus says, "till the very end of the age." Pastor Brian, Pastor Larry, please come. And as they come into the tank, Valerie, please get ready to come as well to share with us your story and to be baptized this morning.
Okay, so hi, my name is Valerie, and my testimony goes, I've been growing up in church my whole life, so I was born into a Christian family. And then as a little kid, I went to like Awana, so like Covey, Sparky's, and TNT, and I had a really great time, but it wasn't until first year's teens camp until I actually truly accepted Christ, because, you know, the Sunday nights are very emotional. And then Like, we had to answer questions, and the answers weren't Jesus or God. So we had to really think about what God did for us. So I'm really grateful that I can get baptized today, and not only that, that I'm baptizing with my best friend, Vanessa. So that's very exciting. Yeah.
So Valerie, when I met you, I was just like, oh, this one's going to be trouble. But you know, God has really kind of led you to use that energy and that that influence that you have for His good. So I'm really excited to be able to see you dedicate your life and to dedicate those attributes that I once thought were going to be trouble, you know, for His glory. So I'm just gonna get you over here and turn this way. Yeah. So, Valerie, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you believe that you know through baptism you are just showing that that He is the leader of your life and that you have surrendered to Him? Upon a profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Aaron Al, can you please come forward? Aaron, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all? And do you believe that He is Lord of your life?
Yes.
And do you wish today to be baptized into Jesus Christ?
Yes.
So Aaron, on profession of your faith then, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Why is it always the troublemakers? So I remember Caitlin is, vividly as the one that continued to step on my nice dress shoes when she was really little. And, I'm really grateful to, see you here. And I'll consider it, you owe me anything because I, get to participate in baptizing you. So I ask you a few questions before your baptism. So, Caitlin, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And, are you prepared on this day to be able to take part in this baptism to symbolize that you are surrendering your life to Christ and having Him renew you through the baptism of the water? All right, so upon profession of your faith, Caitlin, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Emily Lamb, would you please come into the tank?
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm thankful and encouraged by today to grow in faith with Christ. Thank you.
Okay, Emily, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all?
Yes.
And have you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
Do you wish today to be baptized into Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Then, Emily, upon profession of your faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Vanessa?
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I was born in a Christian family and I went to church, but I actually stopped going to church for a couple of years until my lovely friend Venus brought me here for Awana. And then from Awana, I went up to Friday nights and then I had my first teens camp. And I think I really felt God during the typical like Sunday night when everyone was just praising. And I saw something really, really different in like the group of teens that I haven't seen with like my friends at school and stuff. So yeah, I think I accepted Christ then. And one of the first things that happened that I really felt God work in my life was there's this one time, this Hong Kong celebrity that I really, really liked. He was coming here for like a meet and greet, you know, Kenneth Ma. Yeah. And I was really excited to go, and me and my other lovely friend, Valerie, we were going to go together and we had it all planned. And then Pastor Larry goes and sends us an email telling us we had a worship practice on the same day and same time. And I was utterly devastated. And then, but then I chose to go to worship practice anyways, because you should put God before everything else. Yes. So then I went, and then Valerie got a text from her mom saying that their plane was delayed, and we ended up going, and I got her signature, and it was really great. And yeah, I just really felt like God, like no one could have stopped the plane, like no one could have delayed the plane except for God. And I just really felt like that was the first time I really saw him working. And although this is not like some life-changing experience or anything, but yeah, it was one of my first. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad that I personally and inadvertently had, allowed you to be able to choose God over your personal desires. So, Valerie, Vanessa. My bad. I think I do this on a regular basis too, right?
There's
so
three of us.
There's three of you, yeah. So Vanessa, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
And do you believe that on this day, as you partake in this baptism, you join with Jesus in his death and also in his resurrection?
Yes.
Well, on profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Simon Chung.
Hello, my name is Simon Chung. I've always knew that Jesus was there, but I never really recognized him or accepted him. It wasn't up until my mid-20s where I was at a point in my life where if I didn't change my life of lies and deceit and drug use, I would have fallen into an abyss of despair, a life of struggle and regret. And the Lord sent me my angel, my wife Jabin. She reintroduced you back into my life. And through daily prayer, you not only gave me the strength, but you actually reached down and pulled me out of that pit. And day by day, that pit became shallower, became a hole, and then it was a ditch. And then finally, I'm on level ground. And after today, hopefully, I will be able to build a mound towards you. And I also want to say that Jesus was always in my life because the first day that I came here in Canada, there was a person, a family, who accepted us with open arms. She was Cousin Chris. She's sitting right over there. She's always been there for our family, and she's also brought us to this church. In law, she's my cousin, but in reality, she's almost like my second mom. And I thank you.
Simon, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus is Lord of your life?
He is.
And do you today desire to be baptized into Jesus Christ?
Yes, I do.
Well then, Simon, on profession of your faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
My name is Alice. I came from a non-Christian family and never felt the need to believe in Christ. 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a terminal stage 4 lung cancer. I felt so lost and desperate at the time. Through the connection of some Christian friends, I got to know some Christian with the same illness. Their willingness to share their cancer experience, love and faith have amazed me and given me hope and encouragement. It wasn't until 1 year later that I realized it's God who has been doing all these amazing things. It's Him who is sending me all those angels. I started attending church service, reading Bible. I found peace, love, and hope. During the last 3 years, I had my ups and downs. I'm really thankful for Christ's blessing and mercy. Without the support from God, my family, friends, and medical team, I don't think I can still be here today. It is a joy to know that I can lean on God for grace and strength during this difficult journey. Thank you.
Before I baptize Alice through sprinkling, I just want to say to Alice how much of an encouragement she's been to me and to others who know her story. She suffers through a terminal cancer situation. She just had chemotherapy just last Tuesday, and yet her faith is so real, so strong, so sincere, and so transparent. And so I'm going to ask Alice some questions before I baptize her. Alice, is the Lord Jesus Christ someone that you have placed your faith and trust in?
Yes.
Do you believe in the resurrection?
Yes.
Do you believe in eternal life? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ will come back one day?
Yes.
So Alice, upon your profession of faith, and I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for Alice, shall we? So Lord God, we want to just commit Alice to you. Father, I thank you for the faith that you've placed in her. I thank you, God, that she has hope in your word and in what your word says. I pray for her that if it is your will, God, that you will cure her of her cancer and that you will heal her by your divine touch. We look to you, Lord God, to give her strength and to sustain her for the rest of her life. We pray for your presence to be with her each and every day. Pray, oh God, that she will know you and know the resurrected life, life eternal, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this prayer to you, Lord God, and ask for your blessed presence to be with her. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that you believe? When what we believe in our hearts matches up with what we profess with our mouths, that's when our faith is strengthened. That's when our beliefs are solidified. What is it that you believe as a Christian? I want to refer to you to the Apostles' Creed that is printed out in the back of your sermon notes. The Apostles' Creed is not found in the Bible. It was not written by the apostles. Rather, it was written at least 150 years after the apostles all died. It is called the Apostles' Creed because it is a true and faithful statement of what the apostles taught. It is a profession of faith from the Latin word credo, meaning I believe. This creed is a concise expression of what the believer holds to be true in communion with other believers throughout the world. I'll take this time just to read this to you. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the word Catholic here just means universal church. I believe in the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Jesus instituted the ordinance of baptism. He also instituted the ordinance of communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says this. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a preparation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. And then Paul, the apostle, says later on in verse chapter 11, verse 20, my eyes are going bad, 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. I'd like to ask the ushers now come forward, those who are serving communion, to come forward at this time. The ordinance of communion is a reminder of the Lord's death. It is also a reminder of Christ's presence, even in our lives now. In these verses, the Apostle Paul invites these Corinthian believers, as well as believers of all time, to look back to the cross and to reflect on Christ's death as we take up communion. As well, he asked them to look into themselves and to confess their sins to God. He asked them to look around to others, to the community of believers, and to see our relationship with one another, to live in love and to live in peace with one another. In essence, to forgive one another of our sins. Apostle Paul also says to look up to the Lord as we participate in the bread and cup, to look up to the Lord who nourishes us with his body. And then lastly, and to look forward to Christ's return. So before you come and participate in today's communion, would you just take a moment to do these five things as you look back to the cross, as you look into ourselves, as you look around to others, as you look up to the Lord, and to look forward to his return. Just take a moment to do that, and please come forward to receive the bread and cup after that. Worship team, if you can go first. Like the Apostle Paul and countless numbers of Christians down through history, knowing what we believe strengthens our faith and allows us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly to wherever he may lead us. I'd like us to read the Apostles' Creed together as we end off the service. And as you may have guessed already, one of the songs we sang in service earlier today, the song, This I Believe, is based on the words from the Apostles' Creed. And as we read this creed together, let us read it with conviction. And as we sing this song, the Apostles' Creed song together at the end, let us sing it joyfully, knowing that the Lord has promised us great things and our beliefs can be strengthened because of what it is that he has shown us. Let's stand together, shall we, as we read this. So let's read this together. Let's read it slowly and let's read it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our
Brothers and sisters, as we have heard, as we have spoken, and as we have sung the Apostles' Creed, and as we have participated in the ordinance of baptism and in the ordinance of communion together, may these visible enactments of our faith, of the gospel message, strengthen our resolve in what we believe. May your love for God, the Father, increase daily. May your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ shine so ever brightly. And may your hope in the Holy Spirit's working in this world empower you to live a life that is worthy of his calling. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go.